Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
Happy Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. It's the 300th episode of the good old Hollow Sky Podcast.
That is crazy.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Like 300 college essays.
Yeah. Eventually, there will be an episode for every day of a full year. That's just the regular show.
Yeah.
We're too dumb to quit, folks.
This is true, so you might as well just get used to it.
Might as well just stick around for the ride, which is, I mean, what else you got to do, really?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing going on out there.
If you're new here, you probably just want to skip to like 6 minutes because me and Kyle like to talk a little bit at the beginning. That makes some people cry, makes some people laugh. I don't know. I don't make the rules. It's just how it is. But before we get to my episode here, it's a doozy. It's a banger. Probably a two-parter.
Good.
It's bonkers. I had a good time writing it. Excited about it, feeling good. Thanks for picking us on this Monday. Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Come be part of the community. Join the cult. Cool thing to do. You know the drill. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future episode of the Listener Encounters, Kyle's got the deets for you.
I do. It's simple, ladies and gentlemen. You know how the game is played. It's always in the show notes every day. But aside from that, write your story out as much detail as possible. Shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Once you do that, it goes into our patented filing system that everyone knows and loves. Then we take it from there. And we get it on the show, and you guys feel a sense of entitlement like you've never felt. It's the greatest thing ever. Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't speak for it.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I've never had an encounter featured on the Hollow Sky Podcast Listener Encounter.
That's true. Also, I was thinking the other day, and I know this is probably going to push us over our 6 minute mark, but I could give a fuck less. So, with that being said, I feel like this is probably our year. I think it's time that everybody start pulling their weight, pushing Hollow Sky to the front of the podcast world. I've got some really good ideas for the future of Hollow Sky and Steve and Kyle, and it kind of requires us to be full-time.
It don't sound that bad to me.
No, I got some really good ideas floating around in the noggin here.
Boop, boop. To the moon, as the crypto dorks say.
Yeah. So once that happens, we are going to roll out chaos.
Hell yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
I don't even know the plan.
No, he
I'm
don't. He don't, because I've got other podcasts in mind that's turning and burning in the brain. I've got basically YouTube stuff.
We just need time.
All types of stuff. All types of stuff. And then it's all interactive too. That's what it means the most to Steve and I, is that everybody gets to participate in these journeys.
It's a cult project.
It is a cult project. Everybody, for every idea that I have, it can all be interactive with you guys. So I don't know. It's on you now.
It sells itself, really.
Yeah, this is 100% on your shoulders.
No pressure, though.
No shit.
No responsibility, no pressure.
It's only the future of Steve and I.
So.
I mean, you guys are gambling on it, so.
No pressure. I don't have.
You can't match that, dude.
No, I don't have. I can't even add anything because I'm not. I don't know what's happening.
I 100% nailed it out of the park there. I just took my own horn for about 3 seconds.
Yeah. So, if you want to be part of that and support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. You can hop over to Patreon there for just $7 a month. You can't even get a value meal at your favorite crappy fast food restaurant
anymore
for $7. But you know what you can get? Whole bunch of extra Hollow Sky stuff. Extra episodes, early drops, no ad episodes, casket breath songs, early merch drops, merch coupons, all kinds of cool stuff. So if that's something you think's cool, you should probably do that. You can go to hollowskypodcast.com, check out the merch, get some t-shirts, get some hats. We're blowing through the back stock. It's just a cool thing. Also, share the show word of mouth. Keep going, keep going. Just keep pushing Hollow Sky. If you got other paranormal, conspiracy, creepy podcasts you like to listen to and you'd like to see a collab, hit us up. We got something in the works coming up here shortly, hopefully. So that should be exciting. Also, go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. When we find that, I'll gladly shout you out on a future episode. So today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, Garquan Gargoyle Master.
Yes.
Hope I pronounced that right.
You absolutely pronounced that correct.
It says Bigfoot. 5 stars. Bigfoot is a Nephilim creature! ! Well, Garquan, I can't argue against that.
You can't.
No, I can't do it. So
it's literally impossible.
Excellent 5-star rating. Bigfoot is a Nephilim creature. That's just what it is today. We appreciate you, Garquan. I just have a good time saying that.
Thanks for a solid name.
Leaving us 5 stars and hanging out.
It's a solid name.
And hanging out with us. It's a good time. So now that I'm well past the 6-minute mark here, we're going to jump into this absolute chaos of an episode. I'm excited for Kyle to hear this.
I'm excited to hear it.
Okay. So I got to do a little setup here. So as many of you know, I mentioned on the show before, the Gulf Breeze UFO flap was one of the first like actual cases of the phenomena that I ever really dove into. I remember getting a book about it when I was like 10 years old and I read it front to back.
Isn't that the one where you talked about the black dog stuff?
Bingo.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Thick book, like 400 pages, and my little brain was just running through it, terrified out of my mind. Probably still have PTSD from it. But like Kyle mentioned, if you've been around a while and heard Kyle talk about his encounters, I'll always reference that case because it's the first place I heard the black dog phenomena linked to the UFO phenomena, which oddly, Kyle experienced the same in his UFO experiences. So it's just kind of weird. But a while ago, I was going to dig up stuff to kind of do an episode on the particular UFO encounters down there. And I just wasn't feeling it. You know how I am. I got like 700 episodes started. But I did come across a case that plays into it that's what I'm going to talk about today, which is absolutely bonkers. But I didn't get down to writing an episode then. I saw one of my favorite YouTube channels, which is Wartime Stories. Just did this within the last month, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh my God, we got to talk about this. So go show them some love. They do all kinds of weird war paranormal encounters. It's awesome. Shout them out. Support them. Excellent stuff. Anyway, hearing that reignited my interest in the case. So I'm going to bring it to you, and we're going to talk about it. In a nutshell, we have six Army intel specialists, right? They're accused of abandoning their NSA listening post in Germany during the Cold War. Why, you ask? Because they were told by an entity that they contacted through a Ouija board that the apocalypse was on its way, and it ordered them to abandon post, go to Gulf Breeze, and kill the Antichrist.
All right, I am officially in. This has got me hook, line, and sinker at this point. I will note, though, right out of the gate, and what'd you say they were, three-letter they were? Was it the NSA?
Yes.
Okay. So those are like some of the best and brightest.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That's what makes this the absolute worst.
I don't know like how to actually word this correctly, but I've instantly right out of the gate feel like you should, being in the NSA, I don't know how you would like justify this in your brain, but I would instantly be like, okay, this has to be some type of disinformation, some type of interference that's trying to get us NSA agents out of country and back to America.
I love it.
That's where my brain would initially be. However, the fact that it came through a Ouija board, wow, does that just crank the dial? Yeah. On, I have no fucking clue what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And furthermore, why was the NSA using Ouija boards?
It'll make more sense.
Okay. Because right now,
because they're not using a Ouija board. They were confused. They're like, hey, Army intel specialists, we just need you to listen to the Soviets. And these guys are like, okay, bet. And they're like, well, when I'm off, not decrypting Soviet codes,
they're just hanging out.
I'm bored. So let's Ouija board.
I mean, I still think that my question applies. Why are NSA agents fucking with Ouija boards? I mean, it could be a pastime. Could be. I mean, there are a lot of explanations, right?
It gets into it. So, yeah. So that's the intro. I present to you the Gulf Breeze 6, the Antichrist Hit Squad.
I'm down.
I just wanted to say that, and I fucked it up. So, I got too excited.
Here it happens, man. It happens.
So, the story starts with two Army intelligence specialists, 26-year-old Kenny Beeson and 25-year-old Vance Davis. It is reported that both men were fairly well-trained, capable military specialists in their field, despite having what a lot of people called interesting hobbies outside of the military. Both of the men were assigned to the 731st Military Intelligence Brigade, stationed at Aalborg, West Germany, after they completed their MOS training. So here, it was their job manning a major NSA listening post on the Soviet border, near the Soviet border. This, of course, doesn't give you a lot of time to socialize, especially in a time of nuclear unrest. With that, they had to form bonds with their other military brothers, which wasn't difficult considering that Beeson and Davis were both deep, deep into all things paranormal and high strangeness. Like, the beginning of this almost reminded me of me and you, not that we're Army specialists and in the NSA, but that's true. We do like to sit around and just talk about weird stuff.
Yeah, it does make you feel cool. like that it is possible to actually achieve things in life and still be balls deep in the paranormal.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good thing.
So it wasn't a stretch for them two to become friends. It's said that they would sit up for hours talking about all sorts of paranormal strangeness and weird happenings that had taken place throughout their lives, kind of like we have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start with Kenneth, his unexplainable happening started all the way back when he was about 5 years old. He remembers waking up one night being super thirsty. And as the thought of wanting a glass of water entered his mind, it was almost as if it was on cue. A ghost appeared and offered him a glass of water.
Okay.
That's
strange.
Not sure if he partook in the forbidden drink, but this was just kind of the catalyst that set him off on the path of the paranormal. Again, much like us, he spent his adolescence and early adulthood picking up and reading everything paranormal he could get his hands on. His fascinations with UFOs and paranormal just continued to grow. His family had mentioned that although Kenneth was incredibly bright, he was also very gullible, and this worried him, especially when he got into the military, and with good reason. Because while he was in Pensacola, Florida, on his intel training, he met a woman named Anna Foster. Anna considered herself to be a psychic and a UFO researcher, and she owned a New Age bookshop in Pensacola. This obviously attracted Kenneth's attention and kind of spurred his paranormal interests further and further. I bring up Anna because she will be part of the story later.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah. She's going to be an important note in the lives of the Hit Squad. On the other side of that, we have Mr. Vance Davis. When Vance was young, he was also drawn to the paranormal. He became very interested in different types of hypnosis. He even enrolled himself in the Silva mind control courses created by a man named Alex Merklinger, who claimed to be a spiritual guide, but was widely regarded as a con man who was convicted and served prison time for wire fraud and mail fraud before his spiritual awakening. So after I read that, I went and looked. You can actually still enroll in Silva mind control courses. They offer them online.
That's pretty cool.
Which I'm probably going to take.
I think that should be an endeavor we embark on.
Yeah. At first I'm like, there's no way this is real. If it's real, there's no way it survived past the 80s. No, it's there. Very much there. You can sign up for it.
I'm down.
So as their friendships grew, Vance told Kenneth that he had mastered the art of self-hypnosis through a psychological technique called active imagination. This allows the practitioner to access their subconscious mind and dive into and explore their inner thoughts and emotions. One of these dives, however, Vance would catch the attention of something else. He said while he was deep in the self-hypnosis, he came face to face with the green-skinned alien being that referred to herself as Kia. Kia would tell of all these various powers she had, and Vance claimed that she even healed his various ailments through some sort of non-physical therapy, most notably his flat-footedness, which was something that he had suffered with for many years, especially after joining the military and having to march and trek and stand for long periods of time. Vance would also tell Kenneth about how he and Kia would sit in silence for hours and just communicate telepathically. She would tell him all about her species and about the universe and other alien races, most notably a group called the Alliance, which was at war with a hostile consortium of alien beings known as the Others. This shared high strangeness obviously cemented the bond between Vance and Kenneth. They spent a lot of their free time diving into the strange and unusual. Other officers noted that in the hours where they were off and they weren't basically intercepting and decrypting Soviet radio signals, they would be found in their barracks often reading paranormal books, magazines, or just talking about all sorts of strangeness. Like, this was their personalities. When they weren't working, they were being weirdos. Which, I mean,
there's nothing wrong with that.
That sounds pretty familiar to me.
Yeah.
So, the interests, where am I at here? Okay, yeah. Being weirdos. But as we know, sometimes when you stare into the void starts to stare back. And the interest in banter kind of evolved into them actively trying to make contact with something beyond the this world. They would try to contact anything from the paranormal through any means they could find. Guided meditations, tarot cards, anything they can get their hands on. Obviously, this took place privately, but it did start to grab the attention of other military personnel in their group, other like-minded soldiers. So the group began to expand a little bit. You add in PFC Michael Huckstedt, age 19, PFC Chris Perlock, age 20, PFC William Söderberg, age 20, and even one of their NCOS sergeants, Annette Eccleston, age 22, began to come in on these little makeshift seances that Kenneth and Vance were putting together. This would round out the group that comes to be known as the Gulf Breeze Six. Together, they would continue this mission on trying to contact other worlds. All of their attempts pretty much failed, and as a last resort, they decided to go the old tried and true communication tool, a Ouija board. They didn't have much hope for this because they all just kind of scoffed at it being like a kid's game as opposed to a communication tool. But they're like, you know what? We haven't had any luck with anything else. Let's try it. At first, it was a bust, but they were persistent. And eventually, that all changed when the planchette began to move on its own. It actually began answering questions that the group was asking. Over the course of 6 or 7 different nights using the board, it would continue to respond to their questions. It was menial at first, but then the board started pushing this strange religious undertone. The board said that they were in contact with at least 7 different spirits, most of which identified themselves as biblical figures and prophets from the Old Testament, including Zechariah and several disciples of Christ, including Timothy and Mark, claimed to be speaking to the group through the board. It got really weird when another entity joined in, claiming to be Mary herself, the mother of Jesus, who was persistent that she contacted Annette, the only female in the group. Weird, right?
It's super weird. I don't know. Because the implications of actually being able to sit and have a conversation with the apostles and some of the most well-known religious deities of all time.
You wouldn't think you'd have to do it through a Ouija board.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean,
sus.
Yeah, instantly I smell deception and deceit here, but like imagine being put in that spot right on the rip. Like I feel like most people in that initial encounter, especially if you do come from a religious background, I think a lot of people are going to be kind of starstruck.
Oh yeah. I do feel like it was definitely a manipulation tactic to get them kind of sunk in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is working and this is it. If you're talking to religious figures, you're immediately going to think it's something positive and something safe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that kind of locked them in. But this didn't last for very long because an even more overpowering entity started taking control of the board. Whatever this entity was introduced itself as Sapphire. In an interview, Vance said, quote, "Well, we got introduced. Basically, she said it was a woman. It felt very feminine in like the way it was moving, the way she was speaking. She said her name was Sapphire, and we asked who it was and where she was from. She basically told us that she was a woman that was from Georgia, believe it or not. Someone in the other realm, which had me and Ken and most of us really spooked to be speaking to a dead person." So now they have this Sapphire entity come forward, claiming to be just a human spirit. The communication with Sapphire would continuously take more and more ominous tones, eventually leading Does anyone want to guess? We're talking about aliens and manipulation here. All right. As with most of these religious alien manipulative entities case, a terrifying warning that the world was on the brink of apocalypse.
Of course.
Because that's what they do. Events would lead up to an eventual end of the world scenario. As they continued to ask Sapphire questions, the horrifying predictions kept coming, culminating in almost 90 events that were said to be on the horizon. One of these predictions were of a major earthquake that was to strike Iran, resulting in catastrophic casualties. Sapphire said that over 300,000 people would be injured or killed, and it would quickly be filled, or this would quickly be followed by more geological disasters across the world, earthquakes in Russia and along the west coast of the U.S., volcanic eruptions that would lead to weather conditions that would impact the world and the geographical climate. Sapphire also predicted social and geopolitical unrest, forecasting wars in the Middle East involving the U.S., Iraq, and Israel, social unrest and economic collapse in the U.S. leading to widespread riots and martial law. Europe would come together and form an economic and political unification, leading to a shift in global power balances, and this would set the stage for shifts in technology and religion, leading to the revealing of extraterrestrial life and the emergence of a new world order amidst all the global chaos, upheaval, and transformation. Which, I mean, some of these things are happening.
Yeah, it's definitely not far-fetched from where we are today.
No.
And I don't know. That is, it's interesting because there's so much information and so, like, it's so specific.
Yeah.
It's unsettling. This is still all coming over a Ouija board?
Yes. And this is in the late 80s, early 90s, 90, happened in 90. So the war in the Middle East is still kind of headed that away. And now it's talking about all this crazy technology, which we've got now, and revealing extraterrestrial life, which we're literally living at this very moment.
Yeah.
It's not that far-fetched in the world of science fiction that this would possibly come up, but it's
oddly
weird.
Specific.
It's weird. Sapphire then goes on to say, after all this global unrest, the Antichrist would appear.
Hey, Holocult. We are back, and we are excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. Have you ever been to a dentist who just wants to chat to you while he's got his hand stuck in your mouth? Or a dermatologist who brings up your cosmetic issues before you do? Oof. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to settle anymore when it comes to finding the right doctor. With ZocDoc, you've got options. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. Once you find the right doctor, you can see their actual appointment openings and choose a time slot that works for you and your family, and then click to instantly book that visit. I haven't needed to actually book a doctor's appointment, thankfully, but I have gotten on the app and booked some mock appointments, and it is so easy. Believe me when I say it's a one-stop shop. You can get in there and search up your insurance to see who's got you covered. You can search up your ailments for specialists, from cosmetic issues, dermatology issues, all across the board. And you can even book appointments that's within the next 24 to 48 hours. It is really, really nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/HOLO1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. Hey, Holocult. Do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com /HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
A man who would bring about more devastating wars, major religious reforms, persecution against all Christians, and immense human suffering. This obviously terrified the group, and they tried to pry more information from this entity. However, she would not reveal a specific identity to the man that was going to bring forth the apocalypse. She would only tell them that he would emerge out of, quote, the smoldering ruins of Europe in the year 1998. 1998 being crucial as it is mathematically three times the biblical number 666. He would proclaim to be the Messiah. She went on to say that this person would be hailed as a peacemaker by the masses, including all major religious leaders, when in reality he was a monster masquerading behind the mask of a humanitarian and philanthropist. The group, of course, was sitting there like, what exactly are we supposed to do with this information? We're just six low-ranking U.S. soldiers. We couldn't really garner the attention of any high-ranking officials to make sure this doesn't happen, especially if we tell them we heard it from a Ouija board.
Yeah, and that always seems to be the case, too. They pick the most, I mean, in this case, it's not exactly, you know, the mundane person, because they are at least military in this case, but they do seem to pick a bunch of nobodies, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like picking us before we were podcasting. Well, even now, I mean, even now. But before all of this, I would have told you. I'd be like, Steve, you never guess what happened to me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if these beings have the ability to, like, reach out and, you know, talk to people, why not go to the damn president?
Something.
You know? Dude, a movie star, somebody, anybody. So they're sitting there like, well, we have all this information. Now we're not sure what to do with it. That's when old Sapphire chimed in, and she told them that their psychic connection was no coincidence. Neither was the fact that all six of them were stationed at the same listening outpost. This was all a plan from God. God himself had chosen the six, chosen to prepare them to carry out an important and urgent mission, that they needed to start preparing for the nearing apocalypse. She told them that they would be among the, quote, chosen few survivors tasked with guiding humanity back toward the light of God after the upcoming disasters. While the six were already very interested in the contact they had made, and they're fairly certain that they were actually speaking to a divine entity sent from God, they still had their reservations, because they're like, hey, we're talking to a Ouija board that claimed to be Mary, but now says it's a woman named Sapphire. So this is a little sus.
And to be honest with you, Sapphire is more of a stripper name.
Yeah, which I was going to crack a joke. Probably not the first Lonely Army guy that had been duped by a woman named Sapphire.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's factual. That's there's no getting around that one.
Well,
I would be worried if we were talking to an entity named Sapphire, like legitimately outside of strippers. It'd be a little concerning, because I don't know anything about a Sapphire.
No. What a, like, I don't know.
Especially when you go from Mary to Sapphire.
Yeah, that is quite the
it's a big change there.
Switcheroo.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you might want to put Mary back on.
So as they're hanging out, kind of, you know, running through all these scenarios and all this information that just been thrust on them, they're sitting there wondering, is this real? Is it not real? Like, is this our subconscious talking? What exactly is going on? Do we believe it? Do we not believe it? And that all would change when one of the predictions that Sapphire had put forth less than a month before crossed every media platform on the planet. On Thursday, June 21st, 1990, just past midnight, in the Caspian Sea region of northern Iran, a magnitude 7.4 earthquake struck. It had a Mercalli intensity of X, which is extreme. Now, 7.4 on the Richter scale just is gauged by the power that's released. The Mercalli intensity level is more of like how they judge tornadoes based on how much destruction damage there is. And this was one of the worst earthquakes that had happened.
I was going to say, 7.4 is a big, big earthquake.
Yes.
That's no joke.
And it was at the exact place that Sapphire said it was going to be.
So how do you feel when that, if that was us?
I'd say it reminds me of, what was that video? Knock on the Cabin Door, or knock at the Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly that scenario is what it is.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh shit.
I would be a little bit worried at that point. Yeah. I'd be like, this thing, despite if it's, benevolent or malevolent, whatever it is,
I'd say, oh shit.
It has some type of information into the future.
Yes. So this earthquake, between 35,000 and 50,000 people died in the earthquake, with another 60,000 to 105,000 injured. Widespread damage occurred to the northwest of the capital city of Tehran, including the cities of Rudbar and Manjil. The total area of devastation was measured to be 20,000 kilometers squared, or 7,700 square miles, which is
insane.
The National Geophysical Data Center estimated that $8 billion in damage occurred to the affected areas. Other earthquake catalogs presented estimates of the loss of life between 35 and 50,000, with the further 60 to 105, and 400,000 people were displaced. The earthquake struck 30 minutes after midnight when most people were sleeping in their, for lack of a better term, mud dwellings, which was a major factor contributing to the high death toll. The morning after, another aftershock hit that was a 6.5, hit directly in the city of Rasht, causing a dam to break, creating a flood and another large landslide. The flooding wiped out huge swaths of farmland and villages. Other landslides also made roads unusable, with one landslide next to Rudbar moving 20 million cubic meters of land. There were at least 223 landslides recorded within a 4.4 square mile area, with a total volume of, I don't know what that number is, but probably a lot of dirt. The earthquake was one of the strongest in recorded history, or in the recorded history of the Alborz Mountains. Damages were extreme in the cities of Manjil and Rudbar, and there were significant damages in other cities nearby, mostly, again, because of the unreinforced masonry buildings. So, we're sitting here, and it seems as though Sapphire knows what she's talking about.
I mean, it sounds like it, because that's that, like, the scale of devastation there is unmatched. It's so, that's so much.
Yeah.
So much. And it would be, man, because I could, I mean, imagine if that would have happened when you and me were talking to Egress and they predicted sections of the future and they started to pan out. Imagine how we would feel. It changes everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
It changes everything.
It's terrifying.
Because even with as crazy as our story is in regards to that, there's always room for doubt in that conversation. You know what I mean? So the fact that this is kind of putting proof in the pudding, like, hey, I'm not bullshit. I'm telling you the truth. Here's how I can prove that I'm telling you the truth, because this earthquake's going to happen. Your jaw kind of hits the floor at that point and you go, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, you do.
What do I do now?
It's crazy.
And now I think that, which is a very smart, if you think about it, it's a very smart deception tactic of, because now I feel like anybody in that position, whatever doubt they had is most likely gone. And now the hooks are set and they are 10 toes down on anything this entity tells them from there on out.
Yep.
100%. It's no different than what the NSA and CIA do to people like us, where they give us a feather of truth. And then we're like, oh, wow, they're actually telling the truth. And then you just believe everything from then on out. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
It's like I think most people drop their guard in that situation.
It's like an emotional gateway drug.
Yeah.
It just locks you in. So, yeah, we have the earthquake. So, to most of the world, this is just another day in the tragedy du jour. After the initial, like, shock and sympathy, a lot of people probably didn't think twice about the earthquake on the other side of the world. But to the six, it was a chilling wake-up call. Although the number of casualties were a bit inflated, somehow Sapphire knew exactly what was going to happen and warned the six almost a month earlier. This would be all the confirmation that they needed to convince them that the end times were among them, upon them, not among them, upon them, and that they truly were called from God into service. There was one little problem, though. They were all active military and stationed in Germany. Obviously, they couldn't go to their superiors and tell them that they were now on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers, and that they needed to be dismissed, not only from the army, but from the post of one of the top secret listening posts in the NSA Soviet landscape. This clearly was going to be a problem that they didn't have a solution to. So they decided to go and do the only thing that could possibly give them the answers. Ask the Ouija board.
I love it.
So like clockwork, they ask, and old Sapphire reached her disembodied hand through the ether and started to move that planchette to answer their question. And what an answer she had. She gave them precise instructions to abandon the military despite the consequences and make their way back to the U.S.
Oh, that's terrible advice. I was waiting on like a foolproof plan, but this is terrible advice.
Just bounce. Get back to the U.S. where you would go into hiding in the Appalachian Mountains in order to continue your spiritual development and prepare for the upcoming apocalypse.
Terrible advice right out of the gate. I would really like to know what is with these aliens and spreading apocalyptic messages all the time. It happens so often.
Yeah, it's a trope at this point.
It is. It really is. Because so much of it, almost in a roundabout way, reminds me of the Bledsoe case, with how this entity is just kind of not so much demanding, but just like manipulating allegiance.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
It follows the same formula. It started out exact like if... It's almost textbook. They're like, yeah. Oh, hey, you're communicating with something. We're from the other side, but we're also cool with God. Like, hey, you're talking to the apostles. You're talking to Mary. We're angels, blah, blah, blah. Let's see what happens. It's a 100% manipulation tactic. And you'll never convince me otherwise.
No, and not only are we... we've been on that train for a hot minute, but I've noticed a lot of other people in the genre have started coming around to that idea as well.
Good. Listen to us.
Been seeing a lot of posts lately about this very same thing.
Nerds, we've been trying to tell you for the last 3 years.
Been a hot minute.
4 years, probably.
Yeah.
Do not trust them.
No. No, 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 no.
So we got our six here, stuck with a very difficult ultimatum. Uphold their oath to defend America and the Constitution.
Or save the planet.
Or save the entire world in service to God.
Man. I hate to admit it, but I know that some people, I'll edit that statement. I feel like the majority of people in that situation are going to choose to save the planet.
Yep. Especially in their shoes.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I'm placing humanity in their situation, and I feel like the majority of humanity, given the time, all of it, every factor, I feel like they choose to save the world.
The greater good.
I 100% believe that.
Yep. That's exactly what they did, because to the sixth, the choice was already made.
So they just went full send and just rolled out.
Already made, chosen. They didn't even choose it. They felt like the choice was made for them from realms beyond this world.
And I got to admit, that would be a cool feeling.
And it would be hard to get out of your own head.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I would feel pretty cool for a little bit there.
Yeah. So the six quickly put their plan into motion, and over the next month began selling all their personal belongings to raise money for their desertion. In hindsight, I feel like some people missed some red flags here. You know, that's pretty odd behavior.
Yeah.
But especially with what they were doing in the middle of the Cold War, listening to, you know, Soviet encryptions and shit. If people started acting sus, I feel like they should have kind of popped off on somebody and raised the red flags, but apparently not.
Well, I mean, you would think that, because if you'd started doing that, if you started selling off all your shit here at the house.
Mind your business, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, yo, Steve, like, I know times are tough, but are they that tough?
Mind your business, like, you're I'm going to kill the Antichrist.
And then if you tell me, outside of asking about hardships financially, the next thing I'm instantly going to start assuming/wondering is, I feel like Steve's brain has finally cracked into a million pieces, and he has left the building.
It's fair.
I'm gonna seriously consider, because outside of financial issues, the next plausible explanation is most likely self-deletion.
Yeah.
That's where my brain goes. You're either having extreme financial troubles, or you're getting ready to cash out.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely missed that. And the fact that one of them was a sergeant makes it all the more like this crew was in
it. They were sold. Yeah, they were sold.
This is where our good friend Anna Foster comes back into play. Kenneth reached out to her to explain what had been going on, what their plan was, and to see if the group could lay low for a bit in Florida. Just long enough to establish their setup in the Appalachian Mountains, because clearly the Army is going to be looking for six deserters from an NSA listening post pretty, you know, adamantly. Anna, being the gal she is, no hesitation, said, sure, come and stay with me in Gulf Breeze. It's cool. Not far from Pensacola. You guys can kick it here. Not a big deal. So Anna is the last piece that needed to be put into place for them to move forward with their plan. On July 9th, 1990, less than 20 days since the Iran earthquake, the six soldiers casually walked off the Osberg base listening post, using real and fraudulent off-base Liberty passes, and boarded a train to Munich, Germany. So I think we will wrap that one there, and we will roll back around next week to see what happens when they get back to the U.S. So how we feeling about what is going on?
Highly, highly sus, to say the least. But it is, like, it's fascinating. It's fascinating to be, I don't blame them for being consumed by what's happening. I don't blame them at all, because outside of where we are currently, I feel like I do the same thing. I don't know. The only thing that I don't know is I don't know that I just straight up leave the military.
Yeah.
That's the hard one for me.
Like, I get into it a little bit in the next episode, but the repercussions for them specifically in where they're at and what they do for desertion is big time.
Oh, really?
Like, big, big. I'm talking like not existing anymore as punishment, big.
Wow.
So that also,
man, that takes a level of dedication there.
Had to weigh on their decision, because essentially they're being trusted with information that could spark a global nuclear war.
Yeah.
So having them just walk off the base, the first thing that's going to go through the military's head was, which I'm jumping the shark here a little bit, was, did they get captured by the Soviets?
Yeah.
Or did they voluntarily take the information to the Soviets?
That's not good.
No.
That's not good at all.
That,
because you're right. Those are probably the two most plausible explanations as to why these people are missing.
Yep. And especially when there's six of them that all left at the same time.
Yeah.
The once the red flags went up, all the alarms were going off.
Yeah. Whenever, honestly, yeah. Whenever that happens and you present me with that information, I'm going to say
They bounced.
They went to Russia.
Either voluntarily or involuntarily.
I think instantly I go to voluntary.
So that immediately gives the Soviets the upper hand, because they know how we're listening and how we
it's full freakout mode.
Yeah, decrypt their information.
Yeah. And to further that, another aiding factor into why I would assume they went rogue is because some of them used fake passes.
Yep.
Which means that they would, you know what I mean?
It was planned.
Oh, shit. This is planned. Yep. They all went out together. This is the only logical explanation, because there's no possible way we have six intelligence officers just roll out and go home.
Yep. They all decided just to take a vacation at the same time.
Yeah, right. There's no way you believe that. So instantly, you are thinking worst case scenario.
Yep. And I get into that a little bit more in the next episode next week, when they get back on U.S. soil and things start to get even more bizarre in this bizarre.
And they probably wouldn't even have that long to fly under the radar.
No, they were
the ones who had like permission to leave. Sure, you could fly under the radar for a hot, as far as your leave allows you to.
That's exactly what happened.
But the other ones don't. So they're going to get noticed missing almost immediately. So imagine how fast you got to kind of try to navigate getting back home.
Yep. They were back in Florida within 24 hours.
Wow.
They went directly from the base to Munich, flew out. They said we knew, because they weren't not in a right mind to the point to where they didn't plan this shit out. They said they knew we were not going to stay around Germany, because that was going to be the first place they started looking.
Yeah.
Start searching Germany. They said we knew we had to get out of there as soon as possible. So we hopped flights, and you'll hear next week. They didn't even fly directly into Pensacola, because they didn't want their flights to be able to be tracked. So
you're right. They planned it.
Yeah.
They did what they had to do. It's interesting. It's very Mission Impossible vibing right now.
And I love the fact that it's like this legitimately happened. It feels like a movie.
Yeah.
But it happened.
I love the fact that all of this conversation was over a Ouija board. Imagine imagine decrypting that bullshit dialogue. Imagine, like, because You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're reading text. You are reading a letter at a time.
Yeah.
So you got to write the whole thing down. I feel like you're writing pages of letters and then having to figure out what it says.
It gets so bonkers. Like once everything goes off the rails and the investigation starts, like that, it was so far beyond this. Whatever they were talking to was infinitely more prepared than even they were as prepared as they were.
I'm curious to hear if at some point it, I know that this isn't the logical explanation, but at some point I would like to know, and I really don't want to spoil anything, but my brain is wondering, during the investigation, was the Ouija board confiscated, plan check confiscated?
I don't know.
And was it examined for, say, Russian electronics placed within these devices?
Ooh, I don't know.
To further manipulate? You know what I'm saying? Because this is really convenient. The whole timing of everything, the selection of the people.
Yeah.
And
like you said, almost wanted something almost wanted them back in the United States as opposed to listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the NSA.
Yeah. And so like, that's where my brain's at right now for some reason. And I just am curious to see if any of this was investigated to the point of like, was whatever they were doing, whether be it the house they were in, the Ouija board they were using, the planchette, their fucking drinks, were they spiked with anything? You know, how far did the investigation go to essentially rule out every possibility only to come to a conclusion of Sapphire isn't a stripper. It is some type of...
I hope she is a stripper.
Well, she might be in whatever dimension she's from, but she's also a deceitful ass and she's sowing chaos in our realm and we need to put a stop to her.
It's crazy.
I'm here for it. I'm curious to see where this goes.
Oh, right. And you're all going to have to wait till next week because this was a longer episode than I had planned. There's a lot to unpack here. So hope you're hooked so far on this Antichrist Hit Squad. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Which is also cool.
That's a good name.
It's cool. Like I envision being a member of that crew.
They were all kind of 10 toes down with each other, too. So that was also kind of
cool. That is cool.
But we appreciate you choosing us. Everybody, have a good rest of the work week. Be sure to check out part two next week. And also check out all our socials. I won't go through the spiel. But until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. And I hate that I have to say this again. If something tries to talk to you through a Ouija board, don't trust it. I feel like we've already had this conversation.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.